So David, the king, the psalmist, man after God's own heart, the word of God was a lamp to his feet. It was a light to his pathway. Now he had parts of the Old Testament, I'm assuming. Psalm 119:105. To Paul the apostle, to the Gentiles, and the likely writer of the book of Hebrews, he said, the word of God is living and powerful, New King James, and says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We've got to read the Bible. We need to read God's word. It's not enough to just hear some man talk. We need God's words. Paul did not say that my words are living and powerful. He didn't say his own words were sharper than a two-edged sword. Because the words he was speaking and writing were God's words, not Paul's words. For the young evangelist Timothy, the word of God had been learned from childhood. And it was that which was able to make him wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:15. Last week's lesson, we touched base on the value of the Old Testament. Spent a little time there. In that study, we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 and 15. We read those verses. We learned that there is much value in studying the Old Testament. It develops wisdom. Because it had made Timothy wise unto salvation. His mind and his heart was open to the coming of the Messiah. And when Paul came back on his journey through Lystra, Timothy went with him. I don't know whether this was a son that maybe Paul wished he'd had. Timothy is referred to as his son in the faith. I think there was an extreme closeness between Paul and this young man. Reading Romans 15, verses 3 and 4, we learn that the Old Testament, reading of it and study of it, offers hope through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. And he's speaking of the Old Testament. Provides numerous admonitions. It provides examples for us to follow, and some examples to shun, according to 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 and following. This morning, we're going to be looking to 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Verses that follow last week's text. 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17. We're going to camp there for a little while this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you might want to read that with me. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Within this volume lies the mystery of mysteries. Happy as they are of the human race to whom God has granted grace to read, to fear, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch and force the way. And better had they ne'er been born to read, to doubt, and to read to scorn. Poem by Sir Walter Scott. First of all, as we look at these two verses, 2 Timothy 3, we see that it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Key words to me there are all scriptures and inspired of God, or the word inspiration of God. All scripture doesn't leave any scripture out. Now, the scripture they had at that time would have been primarily the Old Testament. There possibly were some letters that were in circulation at the time of the writing of 2 Timothy, as this is thought to have been Paul's last writing. It seems that as we continue our studies in the next few weeks into chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, that he's getting up in years, that he's looking forward, he talks about having finished, having completed. He says he's ready to be poured out as a drink offering, so his death may be near. Some words is in the fourth chapter. All scripture, the revised version reads every scripture, none to be omitted. All of God's word is inspired. Word inspiration literally means to God breathed. God breathed, according to Vincent and his word studies. In Vines, he says to breathe. English Standard Bible says all scripture is God breathed. Barnes, in his commentary, I guess it is, said that the idea of breathing upon or breathing into the soul is that which the word naturally conveys. Breathing into the soul. Speaking not only to our ears, but speaking to our heart and our soul. These are words, the kind of words, they're the same words as they are spelled as words you find elsewhere. But they don't come through to the mind with the same meaning, because they're God's words. God's words. All people say, I heard a still voice in the night. No, you got to read the Bible to hear God's words. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21 says, knowing this first, that no prophet of scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit being one of the Godhead, one of the three, one of the Trinity, nevertheless God. Apostle Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13 are on point. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but what the Holy Spirit teaches. When Jesus left this earth, and his apostles were going to be left behind, well, he said he was going to prepare a place for them, but he also said, I'm going to leave someone with you. The Holy Spirit will be with you to guide you to all truth and to remind you of what I taught you. There were some things that Jesus had not been able to teach his apostles, but they would learn from the Holy Spirit what they needed to know that would be in addition to what Jesus said, and it would be pleasing to God. So just because I've got a Bible that's got the words of Jesus in red doesn't mean those words are more important than words that are written elsewhere. They're all God's words. Now, as you come to know Jesus better and to know his example better, those red letter words may have a somewhat more meaning to you. But they're all God's words. The writers of the scriptures tell us that where the subject is mentioned to them, that their writings have been divinely inspired. They don't take credit for that which they've written, except that maybe they penned them. In some cases, they had someone else pen them for them. Paul did on a number of occasions. So we thus conclude that this book, the Bible, is not the words or the thoughts of men, but God. Holy Spirit guided men who spoke, who wrote the very words of God. Right, in addition to the word inspiration and all scripture there, we see that it says that they are profitable. And I think we need to pursue that because a number of things are said about profitable. They're profitable. Profitable for doctrine, the scriptures are. Very profitable. For teaching and instruction, what do we teach as members of the churches of Christ? What do we teach our children? What do we teach our grandchildren? What do we learn to learn ourselves? We're to learn the doctrine, the teachings, the instructions of God's Word. We send our kids to school over into junior high and high school and on into college, and we're extremely concerned about the amount of education they get there. And many times we've not been as concerned about the amount of education they get in God's Word. At best, when we were growing up as children, we had a Bible study on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. There is responsibility and grave responsibility to the family. And I still feel responsibility for my grandchildren in case my kids are messing things up. Now, I can't take their place. And you have to walk carefully. But brethren, I do believe we have to walk. And walk the walk and talk the talk. We may have to walk carefully and tactfully, but we need to be there. We need to preach and teach. If those children we know are of age that they are accountable, we need, one thing that I did was send correspondence courses through the mail. They felt a little obligation to send them back to Granddaddy because he sent me a stamp in an envelope to return the correspondence course. Now, hopefully they learned. It took them a long time. We did it over 6 or 8 months. But finally, through that, maybe through some camps, they got some interest and the two of them became Christians. I hope that I had a part in that. And the one thing I pray for my kids, even though they're in their 40s and one of them's almost 50, is that they remain true to God in His Word. And I pray that my grandkids are going to be Christians. Now, may I not have acted the way that I know I should have acted when I was teaching my children. But I'm older now. Hopefully I'm smarter now. Sometimes I wonder. Sometimes the whole family wonders. But we still have responsibilities. Read Deuteronomy 6. I know that's not New Testament, but the principle's there. The scriptures provide God-breathed information for the teacher. What better teaching material could you have? And yes, we need books. We have finally got a book on in our Sunday morning adult class. Now, it's hard for me to get used to the book, though, because this is a book I've been using totally. Maybe refer to some others to help make some notes. But I've been totally using this in Bible class. I thought maybe the other book would get us going, interested in looking at something in a little bit different vein because it'd be another Bible school teacher, helping us. But when we convey the actual Word of God, we provide that which is living and powerful to individuals to help them in their lives. That which can get to the heart. It was God's word that David hid in his heart that he might not sin against God. Psalm 109, verse 11. Brethren, if we are really making a valid attempt not to yield to every temptation that comes down the pipe, we need to read the book. If we're not, if we don't have that near the top of our goals, then we may need to just forget trying to live as a Christian because it's going to be too hard. It's going to be impossible. Without the Word of God, without prayer, it's impossible. Inspired scriptures are profitable for doctrine, they're profitable for reproof. Conviction, what Vincent says that means. Vine says it denotes a proof or a proving. So once the scriptures are accepted as God's word, that's not as far as we're to go. I mean, in the book of James, it said we're not to be just hearers of the word, we're to be doers of the word. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. This is the will of the Father. A testament is a will. We have the New Testament. Testament of Jesus Christ. And Jesus sought always to please the Father. He taught only that which the Father desired for him to teach. They were one. Paul admonishes Timothy, study, give diligence to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why would he say that? The workman needed, maybe there was some workman or somebody that needed to be ashamed. He said, you'll be able to rightly divide the word. You'll be able to better understand it, to discern the word of God. To not have all those questions that sometimes we have. You know, to get some answers. Patrick Henry, near death, said, here's a book, the Bible, worth more than any other book that was ever printed. Yet it's my misfortune, he said, never to have found time to read it. Patrick Henry, near death. I'm sure he was thinking, you know, I wasted my time. It's profitable for correction. It's not a repeat of a reproof. Based on those who looked into the meaning of these words, reproof suggests a conviction of error, according to Vincent. The scriptures provide a divine standard. How are we to live today? You know, people would say, well, there's no definite, everybody knows right from wrong. You know, you just feel it, you know, but, every country, there's a lot of things going on in the world today that people think is right, that God says is wrong. There are many things that have, sprung up in this country. Dealing with a home that people think is right, but God says is wrong. Used to, that would be something that wouldn't be talked about. All the various things about all the children born out of wedlock, all the individuals who are living without being married. Oh, it's not even, that girl the other day said, well, I'm living with my boyfriend over at his folks' place. That's one thing my kids never did ask me. They never did ask me, Daddy, can me and my girlfriend, live with y'all? That's a question they knew better than to ask. We're gonna sit down with both of them, we're gonna read the right act. No uncertain words. And if my grandkids did, I'd start talking to them. They're living in sin. Totally, just like the people of Israel of old. Living in unbelief. Not believing in God because what God said. They don't believe that God means what he says. Once our conviction is changed, then that transformation Paul talks about in Romans 12 can take place. And that can be a renewal of the mind. Holy Scripture is inspired of God, profitable for instruction in righteousness, instruction in regard to the principles of justice or what is right, according to Barnes. Chastisement or discipline, according to Vincent. The scripture trains us. It's our education material. It's the only book we'll need through all grades of schooling. The church is an educational institution. Somebody said that to me one time, and I thought, man, you're stupid. And Paul, and I forget now the verse, but Paul in talking to Timothy refers to that as a church. That's the purpose of the church being existing. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach, teach the gospel, make disciples, make learners of all nations. Teaching, teaching, teaching. We don't beat people over the head. We don't take a shotgun out and tell them they got to be baptized or they got to believe. Teaching. Oh, but it takes time. Teaching. We send our kids to school 12 years. They come home, I don't want to go to school tomorrow. You're going to school tomorrow whether you want to or not. Because I'm your parent. If my daddy said so, he meant it. And there was no argument. Early in 1 Timothy 4, 13, 15, 16, Paul instructed Timothy like this. He said, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Verse 15, he said, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. Why? That your progress may be evident to all. You know, sometimes you can see a person, you see them one year and the next, and you talk to them and you see, this person has grown as a Christian. This person has grown as a Christian. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Then he says, verse 16, take heed to yourself of the doctrine or the teaching regarding God and Christ and His will. He said, for in doing this, you'll save both yourself and those who hear you. I assume that if he didn't do it, you fill in the blank. He wouldn't save himself, and he wouldn't be saving others. Because if he didn't have the Word of God within his heart, people could tell. Oh, he's preaching, he's teaching, he talks, but he doesn't live it. Be thou an example of the believers, Paul also told him. It makes one complete, 2 Timothy 3:17. That the man of God may be complete, truly, thoroughly furnished, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So after considering the accomplishments that the Scripture has in reproof and doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction and righteousness, then the man of God is equipped, is complete, is more mature. That would be an inevitable conclusion. The Scripture provides the means by which we can be made a whole man in Christ. The progress or growth of Timothy would be evident. The progress or our growth will be evident. But may I add, the lack of progress, the lack of growth is also evident. If you have a child, and then you take that small child to the doctor for 3 months checkups or 6 months checkups, and doctor says, well, the child doesn't weigh as much as it weighed before and just doesn't look as healthy as it did before. Oh, we would be concerned. We would be concerned. We'd do whatever the doctor wanted us to do to change that around. And yet we have folks who are not changing things around in their life, and it has to do with the eternal soul. President Woodrow Wilson, who said, I have a very simple thing to ask of you. He was talking to an audience on one occasion. I want to ask every man and woman in this audience that from this day on that they will realize that part of the destiny of America lies in their daily perusal of this book. To which I would add, me, I don't know what his definition of perusal. I'd say read and study this book. Reading that would develop into a study. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. Profitable for reproof, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God breathed. These are God's words. We need to be careful when we're reading and studying God's Word. We need to be careful when we just lay the Bible down and leave it sitting there. You're not leaving a copy of my sermon. You're leaving a copy of what God has said to you and to me. Someone has said the best thing to do with the Bible is to know it in the head, store it in the heart, sow it in the world, and show it in your life. If there's one here not a Christian this morning, if you've not studied sufficiently to know what to do, we'll be glad to study with you. If you have any questions concerning what was said, what was read, I'll be glad to discuss that with you in private. But if there's one here that has delayed becoming a Christian, why put it off? You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? John said he wrote the book that he wrote so that folks would believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And to might have eternal life. God has a message for each one of us, and it's in this book. It's no secret. It's no secret. It was a mystery at one time. No longer. If you're a Christian, need our prayers or wish to rededicate your life to Christ, you have that opportunity to do that. If there's something amiss in your life where you sinned against someone else, make that right. By praying to God, by going to that person and praying to God, that you be forgiven. Whatever you need, would you come as we stand and sing the song of love?